Hello and welcome to the Beaver Dam. I'm Reed Mouse, joined along here with Giovanni Spadaro. Gino, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I've never been better. And we're going to run through what happened in this past week of Beaver sports, starting with the football team. Gino, you played for the football team, and unfortunately, they took one on the chin against the best team in the conference, the Franklin College Grizzlies, 59-30. They're 1-3 on the season, 1-1 in the conference. What happened out there Saturday?
I mean, obviously, going into the game, we knew Franklin was good. You know, their offense is, you know, amongst the best in the entire country.
Behind Chase Burton and those wide receivers, tall wide receivers. You actually mentioned them to me outside of this, saying that their wide receivers are so big, and Chase Burton, you think, is going to get a chance to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Division III, you very rarely, if ever, see someone get drafted in the NFL. You know, a lot of the times, you know, you see guys get camp invites from NFL teams. I know Ryan Elker, our star defensive end a few years ago, actually got a camp invite from the Cleveland Browns. So that stuff happens in Division III. Chase Burton, Franklin's quarterback, is amongst the best, if not the best quarterback in the entire country. And, you know, it's been that way for quite a few years now. You know, he's been the offensive player of the year in the conference, you know, the past 2 years. I'm sure he'll be it again this year. I'm sure Michael will give him a run for his money. But guys like that, you know, he'll get a chance, I'm sure.
Yeah, we mentioned, like, for the past few years, we've called a few games against Franklin College and Bluffton, and Chase Burton's been the talk of every game. How are you going to stop Chase Burton? How are you going to do this? Moving on to Bluffton's side of the ball, Bluffton is taking a big hit as the starting quarterback, Colby Spies, who actually had a fairly good game until he went down in the third quarter. He's 24 for 37 with 2 touchdowns and an interception. He got hurt. He went down, was clinching his knee. It looked incredibly gruesome out on the field. Right. Do you have any insight of what's going on with Colby Spies?
You know, whenever you see a guy go down and grab his knee like that, especially when he's your quarterback and he's a darn good quarterback, you know, whenever you see that happen, it's always, you know, it's never a good thing. You know, I know with the knee injury, I think the first initial reaction from trainers was that he might have tore his ACL. It's not for sure yet. I don't think he's got an MRI yet, and I hope that that's not the case, but you know, it's looking like it might be that way. And if that's the case, then he'll obviously be out for the season. But, you know, Brandon Koch, the backup quarterback, you know, he went 9-16 with 2 touchdowns and an interception. And the interception that he threw got tipped. And so, I mean, there's nothing he can do about that. I think Koch, you know, I think he's ready. You know, as me being one of the leaders of this team and Colby being one of the leaders of the offense, you know, it's always tough for that to happen. But as a backup quarterback, being behind, you know, such a good quarterback like Colby, you learn some things. You see the way that they go about things, the way that they go through reads and stuff like that. And I think Koch showed some potential on Saturday.
Brandon Koch with the naked and not football-oriented eye like I have, looked more than adequate out there behind center. He, as you mentioned, went 9-16 with 2 touchdowns and an interception. He actually took over for Colby earlier in the game when Colby got the wind knocked out of him,
right,
and then had to take over later in the game when Colby had a more serious and sustainable knee injury. We've seen him before. We saw him in trying, and he looks more than ready to get out there, and he's got plenty of weapons to work with on that offensive side.
Definitely. I think, you know, as a quarterback, you know, having guys like Mike out there, guys like Keon, you know, guys like Luke, Lucas Espedia, you know, Adam Duncan, you know, having the receiving core that we have as a quarterback, it definitely makes your job easier. And so, you know, Brandon Koch being out there, you know, if he's the guy moving forward, if Colby is for sure out, you know, I think Koch will be able to adjust pretty easily to the speed of the game, you know, especially now we got our bye week. I think the bye week came at the perfect time for us, you know, especially with the injuries that we're dealing with right now. And so, you know, Brandon will get 2 weeks now to kind of prepare himself if he is the guy moving forward, if Colby's out. And so, you know, I think with those 2 weeks of preparation, I think Brandon will be just fine.
That's a good point that you brought up that I haven't even thought about. I mean, there's no point in the season where you want to have an injury like Colby Spies going down. But if you could pick and choose one where you had to, it would definitely be during the bye week, a full 2 weeks to go after it and come back to a home game on homecoming. And we mentioned these weapons that he had, Micah Roberson and Keon Camden. The senior wide receiver, Micah Roberson, has been absolutely astounding his entire career. And he actually made history for the Bluffton football program as he became the first person to eclipse 3,000 receiving yards. He now has 3,108 yards and on 291 receptions and 27 touchdowns for his career. You mentioned to me that Micah, as it currently sits, leads the entire NCAA 1, 2, and Division 3 in career receptions out of active players.
Yeah. For as long as I've been here, Mike is a fifth-year senior, so, you know, my freshman year was actually his technically sophomore year, but we were both freshmen on the field. And even my freshman year, seeing the way Micah just dominated on the field, like, it was crazy. I mean, my freshman year, I was seeing this guy who, you know, he was really getting his first varsity action because he got hurt his initial freshman year. Seeing that guy just go out there and just ball every single game, and then my sophomore year, how he's gotten better every single year, and it's unreal. I just don't know how guys like him can do it like that, just get better every year. And, you know, what's even more impressive about Micah is that when you have a guy like him who's dominated every single year, teams on defense really make efforts to try to stop him. You know what I mean? Like, when you play teams, they're going to try to double team him, you know, put a safety over top and, you know, help, you know, the linebacker in the slot on him or a corner.
And that opens up the play for the rest of the field, correct?
And definitely. And so, like, I mean, it definitely helps Micah when you got guys like Keon and Lucas, and last year when you had a guy like, you know, Raphael Dell, who had 15 touchdown catches last year. So I mean, I think, you know, along with Micah just being so dominant and, you know, still finding a way to impact the game when you got defenses making, you know, a solid effort to try to stop them, you know, along with that, having the receivers in the receiving core that we have alongside Micah really just tells the defense, look, if you want to try to stop this guy and put two guys on him, you know, we're just going to beat you with guys like Keon and Lucas and, you know, guys like that. So really pick your poison. You know, I think we're really showing that.
Yeah, Micah and Keon went 119 yards and a touchdown, 109 yards with a touchdown, respectively, between the two. A fantastic weekend on the offensive side of ball. And actually, someone who might be looking to pick up some time in future weeks is this freshman, Darian Greeley. He really produced at the end of the game. He had 49 rushing yards, and something that, at least from it appears up in the press box, that has been struggling on this offensive side of ball is who's going to be taking the snaps alongside Brandon Koch. Drake Campbell has had the start every game, but Caden Dickey goes out there more often than Drake Campbell.
Yeah. You know, it's tough to kind of judge Greeley right now. I've known for the entire season so far that he is definitely a great running back. And what I mean by it's tough to judge right now is just because, like, you know, how you said at the end of the game.
Facing secondary teams.
He's facing, you know, the backups and stuff like that. So he dominated against those guys. Now, can he really do it again? Can he do it against varsity guys? And that's what I'm really looking forward to see, you know. Guys like Drake Campbell and Caden Dickey, those guys are obviously great talent. So I got the most confidence in the world in Drake and Caden. And, you know, I know those guys are top-notch running backs. And, you know, you mentioned how we kind of have a two-running back system. It's kind of always been that way since I've been here. You know, with our offense, we've always really rotated running backs in every now and then. I mean, last year we had Dante Carroll and Dustin Fisher, and Drake would come in every now and then. 2 years ago we had Devontae.
Eric Fox in years before that.
Eric Fox. We had Devontae and Dante and Dustin Fisher. And so, like, we've always really had a multiple running back system. And so I don't think Drake and Caden will lose any playing time. But, you know, I think Darian could possibly find himself in that rotation as well if, you know, if he keeps practicing well and has a great 2 weeks of practice here. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him, you know, getting some varsity time, you know, here at the remainder of the season, rotating in with Caden and Drake.
Well, the good thing is this football team has plenty of time to bounce back. We mentioned this week that they have a bye. They go into homecoming the week after against Anderson. And one thing that you could say, even though this football team is 1-3, is that they probably faced their three toughest competitors already in this season in Trine, Wooster, and Franklin. There's only really one other team in the conference play that really is a threat to Bluffton as a team, and that's Rose Holman.
Yeah, you know, Coach D said it, and, you know, I think we all agree. I mean, you said the three toughest opponents. I would say really four, too, as well. I mean, Mount St. Joe's a good team. Mount St. Joe's going to be, you know, one of the better teams in this conference this year. You know, I think Mount St. Joe might give Franklin a run for their money. But, yeah, I would definitely agree. I think the last four games that we just played were probably the toughest opponents that we'll play all year until we see Rose Holman coming up. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything bad about any other team in the conference. Hanover's a great team on film. I've watched a little bit on them. They are on the rise. You know, they got a new coaching staff that came in, you know, a year ago from Franklin. And that's a good team. Hanover's going to be a really good team. It's going to be a tough game. But like you said, you know, we definitely played some of the tougher opponents that we'll see all year right now. And, you know, we definitely showed some potential, you know, going back to that Franklin game. I mean, we did a lot of good things on defense. It was just giving up the big plays. And offensively, we did some really good stuff as well. If you ask me, from a talent level, we were right there with them. we were just giving up too many big plays at the time, and you can't afford to do that stuff against an offense like Franklin. But yeah, moving forward, I think after seeing the potential and seeing what we can be as a team, there's nowhere to go but up for our team right now. And you know, I would definitely expect us to finish strong and hopefully, you know, win out right now, finish 7-3, and hopefully Franklin loses a game and, you know, we'll have a shot at winning the conference championship.
October 7th against Anderson Ravens is when their next game is. That's going to be homecoming. You can listen to it here on The Wit at 1:30. Moving on to women's soccer. Women's soccer hosted Huntington University on a hot Friday afternoon. I watched a little bit from the views of the baseball field. They lost, unfortunately, 8-2, and it was a hot Friday afternoon. It was feeling like it was almost 99 degrees out there. The freshman goalkeeper really played well, though, even though the score was 8-0. She tallied up 12 saves in the game. Could not get any help from the defensive side of the ball. She was moving around the entire time. This women's team is 1-6 on the season, and they look to start conference play this Saturday as they travel to Earland. This team still is the up-and-coming.
Yeah, definitely. Me and Ty kind of talked about it last week, how this team's kind of going through a rebuilding phase. You know, when you're going through phases like that and you see freshman talent like Jules Fraser tallying up 12 saves in a game, that definitely shows promise for you as a program. When you can get freshmen to come in and, you know, make an impact immediately in a game, that's definitely what you look for when you're starting to rebuild. So as a coach, when you're trying to coach a program like this, the biggest thing is that, you know, you want to get freshmen like Fraser to come in and make an impact, but you also want to get them to stay here as well and keep recruiting freshmen like her to come in and, you know, keep making impacts. And if you can keep doing that, then those freshmen that are making impacts grow into, you know, sophomores, juniors, and seniors while you're still bringing in good freshmen that can make impacts. So if you can keep doing that, I mean, this program will definitely continue on the rise. And the best part about this is that they haven't started conference play yet. And so, you know, 1-6 really means nothing right now. You know, it's great that they got that win early on in the season. That definitely helps the freshmen realize that, look, you know, we're seeing the improvement of this program. But now, you know, you can look at it like, all right, now we're 0-0. Those six losses go out the window. It's conference play now. Let's win every game from here on out. Let's try to go 1-0 each and every game and give ourselves a chance at winning the conference possibly. But even if not, you know, just continue to go out there and, you know, try to win games and just give your 100% effort every single game and, you know, just look to improve every single week.
One of the biggest challenges about a rebuilding season for a coach, as you mentioned, is you've got to get these young players in. A lot of them come probably from winning programs in high school, and now that they're in this rebuilding phase, they're going to lose some games, and you've got to keep the winning mentality on your team throughout a rebuilding process. It's very easy to fall into this, oh, it's just another game, it's just another loss mentality, but you've got to stay hungry. You've got to keep that strong mentality of wanting to win ball games, and that's where rebuilding really takes a hit. And speaking of rebuilding, we're going to move on to men's soccer, who lost 2-0 against Ohio Christian University on Wednesday, September 20th. They also are not having the season they wanted. They slipped to 0-7 on the season, and they're a young team as well.
You know, much like the women's soccer team, they're going through a rebuilding phase. And like I just said, you know, you got to recruit freshmen that come in and make impacts. You got to get them to stay. And, you know, if the freshmen are getting upset or, you know, getting down or, you know, it doesn't seem like they're really bought into the program anymore, you know, that's going to happen every now and then, you know, with a program. But what you got to do is, as a freshman coming in, you have to understand that, look, I'm coming into a program that hasn't had much success as of late. We're going through a rebuilding phase. Rome wasn't built over one night. You know what I mean? It's going to take time in order to see improvement. And they may be 0-7 now, but like I just said, with the women's team, conference play hasn't started yet. And so what you're really judged off of as a program is how well can you play in conference. You know, can you compete with the conference teams? Can you compete for a conference championship and all that? Because if you can win a conference championship, then you get a chance at the postseason and stuff like that. And so, you know, these soccer programs just keep bringing in freshmen, keep the morale high, keep letting them know that, you know, it's a rebuilding process. It's going to take time to see improvement and just try to improve every single day. And if you can do that, then you're going to give yourself a chance to compete against these conference teams and, you know, eventually give yourselves a chance to get a conference championship ring.
This men's team, very similar to the women's team, brought in a lot of freshmen. In fact, they brought 21 freshmen in. And one adage that I heard a few years ago that really holds true for rebuilding processes and teams that bring in a lot of freshmen and are playing freshmen a lot, it goes simply as, freshmen, they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Sophomores, they want to start.
Yep.
Juniors, they want to compete personally. They want to compete individually. They want to be all conference.
Yep.
But seniors, they want to win.
Yes.
And that's something that you want to hold in your mind.
Yeah. I mean, that holds true for every single team. It doesn't matter what sport you're playing. You're 100% right with that. You know, I definitely see that in football as well. We bring in a lot of freshmen. You can see that a lot of freshmen want to get on the field and play. You know, if you're playing college sports, chances are it is in high school you're probably one of the stars on your team. You know what I mean? So to transition from being one of the stars on your team to maybe not playing, it's obviously, you know, pretty tough. And so I can't blame freshmen for being upset from that point of view because it can be frustrating. But, you know, coming in as a freshman, you got to understand that there's probably going to be players that are better than you. But from this aspect with soccer, bringing in all these freshmen in a rebuilding phase, you know, as a freshman, you got to understand that the team's going to rely on you for all 4 years. And whether or not you play or not, you got to be bought in from year one to year four. And you got to continue to improve every single day because this team needs you. And, you know, can't afford to really bring in freshmen that aren't going to stick around. You know, if you come into a team that's rebuilding, you know, you got to be invested into improving and getting better, and because your team needs you if you guys want to see success.
You've got to have freshmen that are buying in. Yep. So this women's and men's team play very soon here. The men actually will be playing this week against the College Wooster as a final tune-up before conference play starts, and they actually will start conference play this Saturday as they also travel to Earlham and take on the Quakers at 3:30. Cross country does not have much news to report on as they have not raced since last weekend at the Tiffelberg Open. They traveled to Cedarville this Friday to compete in the All Ohio Cross Country Meet, so we wish them the best of luck. So moving on to women's golf, they competed in the HCAC preview on the Keene Run Golf Course in Nicholsville, Kentucky, and they didn't have enough players to place in the actual event themselves. Hannah Ferguson did not compete in the event, but they had a couple impressive outings this weekend. Mercedes Burns finished 73rd. It's actually her highest placing yet this season. She scored a 109, a 110 for a 219 on the weekend. She was 63 over par. Victoria Wilson, who actually competed the best, actually went down a little bit. She had the best score of the weekend out of the Bluffton team, shooting a 107 on the second day, and she actually improved greatly from the first round. We actually saw this last week when she scored a 130 on the first day, then ended up shooting a 105. So she shot a 121 and a 107 today, shooting 82 overall, 76th in the entire tournament, and Taylor Ramsey, who shot a 118 and a 130 for a 102 over par. They are continually to get better, and it's their first time this season, this first time of this program in over a decade, so they've got to just keep improving. A lot of freshmen, Mercedes is a senior, of course, where they're just going to keep trying to improve. Their next golf invitational is this Saturday at the Earlham Invitational.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, you know, every time that you bring in a program for the first year, you can't really expect that program to just come out and, you know, win conference and, you know, something like that's pretty far-fetched. So, you know, every time that you're just beginning a program, you know, anytime that you can just see improvement, anytime that you can just see, you know, glimpses of potential, glimpses of greatness, you know, that's what you look for, in my opinion, when you're just starting up a program. And, you know, I think that they did that. I think that they competed. You know, that's really all you can do as of right now. And, you know, as the years go on, you continue to bring freshmen in, you know, recruiting-wise. That's when you'll really start to see improvement with this program. And so, you know, they're just scratching the surface right now. You know, there's really not a whole lot to say about that. It's just,
they're seeing where they sit in the conference. They're seeing where they continue. And they're going to keep bringing in great recruits and keep working on getting better every single season.
Exactly.
Moving on to volleyball, last week junior Bethany Martini was named the Heartland Conference Player of the Week. It marks the second time in 3 weeks that Martini has been the Offensive Player of the Week in the HCAC. She was named the Bluffton Fall Classic MVP after a career-high 22 kills and a four-set victory over Allegheny. We're actually seeing Bethany Martini step into a fantastic time in her career. She's taken over a few former All-Americans and All-Conference Players of the Year in Mackenzie McFarland and Lauren Weisgerber. So she's stepping in for a very good role for this volleyball team, and she's done fantastic.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I believe that me and Ty actually talked about her last week as well. You know, any time that you are in a backup role, perhaps, you know, behind some of the girls that you just mentioned, you know, Mackenzie McFarland, you know, and girls like that, any time that you see that, in my opinion, I always look for that backup to possibly open a lot more eyes than expected when she finally gets her opportunity to start. I'm sure that she's learned a lot from those girls in the past, and she's definitely filling in that role. The thing that's made this volleyball team so good in the past was girls like Mackenzie McFarland and girls like that. And so when you got Bethany Martini to step into those shoes, which were obviously humongous shoes to fill, and to see how great of a job that she's done as a coach, you can't be more pleased to see that, hey, maybe I found our next Mackenzie McFarland. Maybe I found our next girl that can, you know, make just as much of an impact on the court as those girls in the past have. And, you know, if that's the case, then this volleyball team looks like they're in a really good place right now.
Bethany Martini and Aaron Weisgerber, as you mentioned, stepping into big shoes to fill from Aaron's older sister, Lauren Weisgerber, and Mackenzie McFarland. And you brought up a fantastic point. It's become a mentorship to really sit behind players like that. And they've had a lot of time to play over the past few years, but now they're stepping into bigger roles. Bluffton actually didn't have the weekend that they wanted. They traveled to Baldwin-Wallace for the HCAC-OAC crossover tournament. They went 1-3 to bring their record to 500, 8-8. They beat John Carroll in three sets. Fantastic start.
Yep.
But then they played Baldwin-Wallace, who's had a fantastic season. They're actually undefeated. They lost to them. They got swept in three sets. But one thing that was actually very good is even though they lost to Ohio Northern, Ohio Northern's a fantastic school. They actually took a set from Ohio Northern, which I know the team was pretty excited about. But the real heartbreaking loss came to Capital. This team thought that they were better than Capital. We've seen them be better than Capital in the past few years. And 8-8 isn't the record that they were hoping for going into conference play. But it doesn't matter. This team's won four straight conference titles, and they're going for the fifth one this season. And they've got a few teams that can bring them down, but this team still has the swagger and the confidence to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, in the past with the other teams, you know, when you're playing non-conference games, the way that I look at it, especially for football and stuff like that, it's like it's kind of like preseason. You know, I know that it shows on your record whether you win or lose and stuff like that. And, you know, that can, you know, factor in when people have an opinion about you as a program. But when it really comes down to it, all those non-conference games really don't mean a thing, you know, in terms of conference. If you haven't started conference yet, in my opinion, your record's still 0-0. And so this Bluffton volleyball team, it's no secret. They're amongst the best in the conference right now, and I'm sure they will be, and they're definitely going for their fifth consecutive conference championship. And so if I was one of the volleyball players, I would not let this 8-8 record, you know, really hurt me or anything like that or bring the morale of the team down, because going into conference play, you're 0-0. And you should know for a fact, you got a lot of returning girls on this team. You should know that, hey, we're the best team in this conference. We've been this best team in the conference for 4 years now, and so we know we're good. So let's just go out there and continue to do what we do in this conference and bring back another conference championship.
They host Denison University on Thursday at 7 p.m. in the Somers Center. This will be their last non-conference game of the year as they travel down to Madison, Indiana to take on conference rival Hanover in Indiana. So this is really big for this team. If you talk to this team who their biggest rival is, it's not Defiance, who everyone else would say. It's Hanover. They've actually ended Hanover's season for the past three seasons in the conference finals. So this is a big one to start with, and you find out who's really going to take control of this conference early on.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, if this volleyball team can go out to Hanover, you know, and get a big win, you know, under their belts, then it really proves what I just said, how non-conference games really don't matter. And if you can go out into Hanover and take that game, take the set, you know, then I think the morale of the team will be right where it needs to be heading into the rest of the conference play. And, you know, I think they'll still believe that, you know, they're still the best team in this conference.
And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back to listen to us next week. Check out previous podcasts and search and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, the WIT 96.1 podcast at Bluffton University. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluffdenwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Reed Mouse, joined along here with Giovanni Spadaro. We thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT. Roll Beeve.